glad to have you along with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and today and right now we're going to be learning some more about autism and the work one Wisconsin organization is doing to raise awareness and resources for people and their family. Kirsten Cooper, our guest today. She's Executive Director of the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin. She's worked with individuals and families affected by autism, and she's done it through direct services and systems change work, and she's been doing it for more than 15 years, so she knows a lot about it. And I hope you'll join in as we talk with Kirsten. Want to hear from you. If you're part of the autism community, let us know what issues matter most to you. Love to hear that. Or if you have a family member who's a part of the autism community, certainly want to know what's on your mind and what are those issues that matter the most. You can call us. The number is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Kirsten Cooper, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. Very excited to be here today.
You know, let's start with a very basics here. What is autism?
Yeah, autism is a brain-based developmental disability that impacts the way the brain processes and uses information. It can also affect the way a person communicates, processes sensory information. It can impact social behavior and emotional regulation. And then, as I said before, the way the brain processes information. And it really impacts everyone differently. So sometimes it can impact someone in a very visible way, and other times in a very subtle way.
Yeah. We often hear, and I'm not sure about these terms, we hear of high-functioning autistic people and low-functioning autistic people. And I think there may be some problems with talking about autism this way.
Yes, you're right. We're hearing from autistic adults who are talking about how that kind of language can be really harmful and hurtful in ways. They're just sharing their experiences that, you know, they can have different experiences from day to day. And, you know, if you think about it, you know, if you would want to be described as low functioning, you wouldn't, of course, because that can be really hurtful. So, you know, there are a range of experiences. It is an autism spectrum, but there are definitely different ways to talk about people with autism.
Yeah. And rather than that, there's an array of, I mean, there's a spectrum, as you say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, often we can describe people with their different support needs. So some people have higher support needs than others. Some people have lower support needs. Sometimes that differs from day to day or context to context. So that offers just a different way of talking about that.
Yeah, that's a better way for sure to talk about it. I know historically boys have been diagnosed with autism at higher rates than girls. Why is there a gender divide in autism diagnosis?
Yeah, that's a good question. So prevalence rates are showing that boys are almost four times as likely to be identified with autism than girls. And it used to be widely believed that autism was just more prevalent in boys than girls, but now research is showing that there are likely more girls and women with autism than we realized, and it's possible they're just going unidentified or underidentified. And there's a couple different reasons why that could be. One reason is that autism just presents differently in girls than boys, and there's definitely been more research and attention given to that male perspective or experience of autism. So that might mean that girls and women aren't being identified just because autism doesn't look the same in them. And another reason is that girls might be better at masking. So as you can imagine, people with autism experience pressure to fit in with others and to hide what is traditionally thought of as autistic traits to fit in socially, and that's referred to as masking. So that's when you hide parts of yourself in an effort to fit in with those around you. And so if girls are masking more, that might mean that they're underidentified because those autistic traits aren't being seen outwardly.
What do we know about how common autism is, particularly, let's say adults or children, but maybe adults?
The CDC just came out with a new prevalence report last month. So that shows that about 1 in 36 8-year-olds are identified with autism. And then we can just apply that knowledge to adults as well. You know, 1 in 36 is who's identified. So it's likely that we're still missing some kids, some girls, some women. So it's likely that prevalence could be even higher than 1 in 36.
And we don't really know much about the demographics of autistic adults, do we? Or do we?
Demographics in what way?
Well, the level of men versus women, the level of how they live their lives?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, of course, kids with autism grow up to be adults with autism, and because it's such a range of experience, everyone has different support needs, as we already talked about. But adults with autism grow up to lead often very meaningful lives, fully employed sometimes, it's just a range of experiences.
I want to give Hans and Kokana a chance to join in and maybe relating to what we were just talking about here. Hans, thanks for calling.
Yes, I'm an adult, age 62, recently diagnosed with autism. The evaluators still use Asperger's, even though it's supposedly an outdated term. I've been trying to find local resources in the Fox Valley or even in Wisconsin, and I keep running to dead ends. It seems like all the help stops at age 18, that high-functioning adults that still struggle with the disability and are able to function but are frustrated with things are having a difficult time finding resources to help them through. And can you help me with that?
Thank you for calling. Kirsten, what do you think?
Yeah, I can definitely try. So there, first of all, I want to say that the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin can be a great resource for you. So I'd encourage you to give us a call. We have an information and referral hotline. Kelly, who is our resource specialist, will answer the phone, and she could kind of talk through with you what you're looking for and what resources are available locally. I think he's right in that a lot of services are focused on children and youth, but there are definitely some things out there for adults. Also, the Aging and Disability Resource Center can be a great resource, often has resources related to, employment and housing and disability resources and things like that.
So the phone number, can you give us the phone number that people could actually use? We probably have, I imagine Clara's already put it up on our Larry Mueller Show page. But
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a call at 920-558-4602. You can also email us at info@autismgreaterwi.org. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is, so the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin is just one of three affiliates in the state, and we serve the northern 53 counties in Wisconsin. But there are two southern affiliates that are also part of the Autism Society network. So the Autism Society of Southeastern Wisconsin covers the Milwaukee area and those surrounding counties. And the Autism Society of South Central Wisconsin serves the Madison area and those surrounding counties. And all three of us do information and referral, so welcome to reach out to all or whichever affiliate is covering your local area for resources.
And I imagine if you type Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin into the website, into a search engine, you're probably going to get a website.
Yes, absolutely. You should come to our website. And then the Autism Society of South Central also has a website, and so does Southeastern.
So they're all there. Kirsten Cooper, our guest today, it's great to have her with us. Questions for her, I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. And Clara, just let me know that we have the website up, and you can go to ideas@wpr.org/Larry and go to today's date, and you'll have that information. And Clara, you might put the phone number up too while you're at it. Again, that was 920-558-4602 was that phone number, in case you wanted to make a call. Probably even right now, you could do that. Well, last month, we were a month late on this, but I don't care. Any month is probably a good one to have Autism Awareness Month. It happened to be last month. But why is awareness about autism, or more awareness about autism, needed in your mind?
Well, I think that the more people understand autism, more compassion and understanding they have for people with autism in our communities. And actually, we at the Autism Society are moving from awareness to acceptance. And we're really hoping that people will join us along this journey from autism awareness to acceptance. And awareness is definitely a very important first step, but acceptance is really taking action to include and support people in our communities.
It makes very, very good sense. Talking today with Kirsten Cooper, she is the executive director of the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin. Great to have Kirsten with us today. And I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us. I see we have some emails here. The email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Feel free to join in. We are going to take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Kirsten Cooper. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. We're talking about resources for Wisconsin's autism community with our guest, Kirsten Cooper, Executive Director of the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin. You're part of the autism community. What resources would you like to see made available? Maybe you or someone you know newly diagnosed with autism. Want to know where to start? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, email to ideas@wpr.org. And let's take some calls. Jane in Lancaster, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm very interested in this, what you said, Larry, about demographics. Is there any way to know, is autism worldwide, is it more intense here, or is there any information about that? That was one thing I was interested in. The other thing is, in the research that's being done to find what might help somebody with autism, I'm thinking about the Arizona State University research that showed there was a connection between nutrition and the gut working to help people with autism to have different behaviors.
Hmm. Jane, thank you for calling. Kirsten, comments?
So as far as demographically, we know that autism exists in all racial, cultural groups, and it does exist worldwide. I don't have exact prevalence data, but autism is definitely global. And then to move into the second question about what, you know, what help support kids and adults with autism. You know, I think I want to talk just a little bit about neurodiversity in that way, because autism, people with autism are considered neurodiverse. So that's a way of recognizing that people experience and interact with the world around them in many different ways based on their neurology. And there's really no one right way of thinking, learning, or acting. So, you know, a good example of this is just as computers and phones have different operating systems, so do brains. You know, there's iPhones versus Androids, Macs versus PCs. One isn't better or better than the other. They're just different, and they often require different supports. So when we think about these differences through that neurodiversity lens, we start to think about how we can accommodate neurodiversity in our schools, workplaces, and communities. So, you know, we have to think about how we offer different supports, modifications, and accommodations to people so that all different kinds of minds can participate fully.
I think Jane also mentioned some Arizona State University research on nutrition as it relates to autism. Are you familiar with that work, or is there any connection that you have learned through research that it may play a role?
I am not too familiar with that research, so I don't feel like I can comment on that. I do know from families, you know, we've heard from families that nutrition can play an important role in, you know, how well their child feels and can regulate. But I think that's a really individualized experience.
Jane, thanks again. Appreciate the call. Patty and Hayward, on to you now. Hi, Patty. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you so much for talking about this. My son-in-law, I suspect, may have autism, and so I had two questions before I broach it with his family. One, his father was in his 50s when my son-in-law was conceived, and he recently died from Alzheimer's, early onset Alzheimer's. Is there any kind of, I don't know if you're aware of any research about that, is there a connection between having an older father or Alzheimer's in the family with this? And then my second question is, my son-in-law, I realize, is masking, and I believe he is smoking marijuana to kind of get himself going. And when he's on marijuana, he's very personable and high. Nice, you wouldn't even know he was high. But when he's not, he is sullen, withdrawn, won't talk to anybody. And, you know, I'm just curious, were there any relationships there before I make some suggestions for him, his family, to get him, you know, diagnosed? Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Patty. So a couple of issues there, Kirsten.
Yeah, I mean, I can start with the first question about kind of the cause of autism. I know there's a lot of different research studies about that. I can't comment specifically about, you know, older parents, but I will say that there doesn't seem to be just one thing that has been found to cause autism. It might be a combination of genetics and, you know, the environment and then just the way the brain develops. And then the second question is more related to masking and kind of coping mechanisms, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's probably true that he might be masking, and, you know, that can be seen as a coping mechanism, but over time it can be somewhat damaging to mental health and well-being. Because in the end, we all want to be accepted and to feel like we belong for who we are, you know, not for who we pretend to be. And I'm guessing, you know, smoking marijuana might be a coping mechanism as well. And maybe he is dealing with some issues in trying to regulate his body. You know, oftentimes people with autism have a different sensory experience. So that might be a part of it. It might be related to mental health. You know, I don't know for sure, but often there's something underlying there. So, you know, I would definitely talk to him about what's going on and what he's feeling and how you can help support him.
Yeah. Patty, thank you very much for calling. Elijah, by the way, I'm wondering, CBD products have come into play for a lot of other things, gum, you know, gummy bears or whatever they're called. Are you familiar with that as a coping mechanism for folks?
I am not too familiar. No, I don't feel like I can speak to that. No.
I just thought I'd bring it up. Let's go to Elijah at Appleton. Hi, Elijah.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. I myself am on the spectrum. I was wondering, I caught your conversation late, so what kind of resources do you guys provide for people on the spectrum, and what is the current rate of autism in the U.S.?
Okay, so what are, and your organization, of course, the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin, and Elijah wonders, you know, what do you provide? What are your goals?
I would be happy.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would be happy to talk more about that. And I'll just start with our mission, then I'll get into some of our programs and what we provide. But the mission of the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin is to create connections, empowering everyone in the autism community with the resources needed to live fully. So we serve the community through 5 core service areas: support, education, community building, advocacy, and then I've already talked about information referral. And we're here to support autistic people and their families and the community throughout the lifespan. So we have different support programs, different support groups. We have parent support groups, autistic adult support groups, and many of them meet virtually so they can be accessed from anywhere. That we do have some local groups in the Fox Valley and in the Wausau area as well. We do a lot of different educational programming. So in April, we held a 3-day conference. And we had about 750 people from the autism community come together to learn and network and just share. And then we do some community building. So we go out and talk to community partners about what autism is and how they can become more inclusive, you know, ways they might be able to consider changing their environment or adding some sensory supports. And then, as I said before, we do information and referral. So anyone is welcome to give us a call, send us a message. If they're looking for specific local community resources, we can help connect them to what they're looking for.
And so advocacy, you mentioned advocacy. Does that extend to the political side of things? Or is it advocacy in that you're helping folks, you know, find the resources they need?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. So we can help parents advocate, you know, on an individual level. So sometimes we'll get parents that call in with questions about maybe how to navigate the IEP process, so in the educational setting, and we can help them understand their rights and how to advocate for themselves and their child. And we also do a little bit of political advocacy, mostly just supporting policies that would benefit the autism community. Sometimes we go in and talk to elected officials, and we really just help families and autistic adults share their stories so that they can be considered when making policies.
Let's go to Lisa in Milwaukee next. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Hey, I have a question. We just recently had a nephew diagnosed a couple months ago. I sat for him, and I was just like, he had one of his episodes, I call him an episode. I had to restrain him so he wouldn't hurt himself. But I thought about, oh my gosh, are there bracelets or some kind of thing that helps other people know that this is a child that may need different kind of restraint, you know what I mean? And are there programs for relatives of autism? Okay. And my nephew started a a clothing line called Don't Forget to Play for autism, and we were wondering how to donate money to this program. I mean, to you guys' program.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful. So it sounds like you're in the Milwaukee area, so the Autism Society of Southeastern Wisconsin would be your best contact. So I would recommend just giving them a call. You can Google search them and see how you can connect about a donation. And they also do have programs for family members, as you asked. So they, I know, have different parent support groups or, you know, since you're new to autism, I believe they have an Autism 101 training. So you could get to know autism a little bit better. They'll be just a great resource for you to connect with.
So it's the Autism Society. Give us that again. Who should Lisa contact?
The Autism Society of Southeastern Wisconsin.
Of Southeastern Wisconsin. Lisa, there you go. Good luck with that. Thank you so much. On to Robert in Hilbert. Hi, Robert. Or Roberto, sorry.
It's okay, Larry. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I wish you guys were here, but about 15 some years ago, my kids are 20, almost 20, and 23 almost. The school district where I went, believe it or not, my wife and I went through hell and back. The school district, which is in Brilliant, Wisconsin at the time, wanted to integrate our kids, in a normal classroom setting. And it was pretty much, I believe at the end, I got the hint that they wanted us to take the kids out of there because the principal pretty much told me that she had no time for my kids. I called CISA 7, and CISA 7, it sounded pretty much like we were against everybody. And it's so hard, and the only thing I'm going to ask you guys is if they could be more, like, probably school to school, educating on this, it will be so much better for parents. Yeah. Because they have people with kids without the autism have no idea how hard it is. It's just a different world. And I do feel for everybody that has a small kid that is just realizing, you know what I mean? Because you just don't know until your kids start going to school, and then all of a sudden you just got to go through, I don't know, something else to learn about your own kid.
Yeah. Roberto, thank you so much for calling. Kirsten, what do you think about Roberto's experience, number one, with the education system and comments about how others, now it's kind of almost in a way too late. I mean, his kids have gone through the schooling system, but I think he's asking for some more help here for mm-hmm. others.
Yeah, well, I appreciate him calling in with his story, and you can just hear how stressful that must have been. And I do think that there are parents still dealing with this kind of issue, and just there needs to be, as we talked about earlier, more awareness about what autism is and what kind of supports are helpful. And part of our mission at the Autism Society is to provide training to educators so that, you know, they're providing the best support there can be. But the other thing I wanted to mention is that there are some statewide resources that can help when there are issues with the school district, or maybe you're not seeing things in the same way as a parent that the school is seeing it. So, you know, give us a call. We can help refer you to some of those resources. There's some mediation resources. You know, it's sometimes helpful if a third party can come in and kind of be a sort of neutral mediator between a school and a family. That can be helpful. Yeah, so I, again, just encourage families to give the Autism Society a call if they have questions about school-based resources.
Yeah, that number, by the way, is 920-558-4255. 4602. That's the number. Roberto, thanks again so much. Appreciate your call. Christine from Green Bay called, couldn't stay with us. Her son has autism. She said it's important to highlight that there's a big part of autism community that wants to engage but can't because their children have needs that don't allow them to attend events. Christine mm-hmm. says that caregivers are hard to come by, so there's very little free time for single parents, for example, raising autistic children.
Yeah, that we hear that a lot, too. And actually, one of the programs that we're really excited to introduce this year is a respite care night. So we are partnering with the Building for Kids Children's Museum in Appleton and then also Wisconsin Early Autism Project. And that program is a night for parents to come and drop off their children. And they'll be well cared for and well supported at the Building for Kids. And then parents can take a night off. They can, you know, go out for a day night if they want or, you know, catch up on grocery shopping, really whatever they need to do. But that's a support that we have available. And then the other piece she said about going to different events, something the Autism Society really wants to work on as well. We have an autism-friendly communities program where we're, you know, talking to community partners about making events, community events and spaces just more accessible, maybe offering sensory accommodations or a quiet room. So if someone gets overwhelmed, they have somewhere where they can go where it's quiet to regulate. So I think we're making progress towards working towards that every day.
And you do have a grant. I think you recently got one from the Department of Health Services. Is that the nature of it? Well, maybe just tell us about that grant and the money.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to share more about that. It's actually a grant related to mental health and kind of the intersection of autism and mental health. Because what we're hearing from our community is that people with autism are struggling to find adequate and quality mental health care that aligns with their neurology. And about 70% of people with autism also experience a co-occurring mental health condition. So for the last couple of years, we've been working to develop a series of trainings related to autism and mental health with the purpose of just bringing more awareness to the issues. And then also to train and educate mental health providers to be able to work with autistic clients. So the grant that you mentioned, we were awarded earlier this year, and we'll be able to open up access to our training to more community providers for free. And we have two different levels of training. So one is more of an intro. It's 6 hours that's virtual, and you can learn at your own pace. And then the second training is more comprehensive. It's 30 hours. It includes kind of the history of autism as a diagnosis, how to diagnose mental health conditions in autistic clients, how to set up the therapy environment, and then how to adapt common therapeutic modalities for autistic clients. So we're really excited about this project and to be able to build the capacity of our local mental health providers to serve autistic clients. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a great program. And certainly judging from the calls and comments today, there's was a lot of interest in what you're doing, Kirsten, and you and your group members are doing. And I want to thank you for taking time to be with us today. I learned a bunch, and I bet our listeners did as well. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you again for having me. It was an honor to be here.
And we will Clara's already posted the contact information, the phone numbers, and the websites and all of that. If you want to learn some more or get some more help, you can certainly go to ideas@wpr.org/Larry. Just go to today's date, and we'll have that under our comments section. Thanks again. Kirsten Cooper, by the way, Executive Director of the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin. Great talking with her. Just look ahead. Coming up tomorrow on the show, we learn more about the work being done to protect bat habitat. And then special guest, DNR Secretary Adam Payne joins us to talk about the biggest environmental issues our state faces, PFAS, the agency's wolf plan, state parks. That's tomorrow on the Ideas Network on the Larry Mueller Show. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.